Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm your host, Glenn Williams, and over the course of the next 45 minutes or so, we'll be paying tribute to Peter Whittingham, an incredibly gifted footballer who gave 10 of his best years to Cardiff City Football Club. During his time with the Bluebirds, Whittingham played more than 450 times and scored 96 goals for the club. Many supporters credit him with being the best ever to have played for the club. His world-class goals, wicked eye for a pass and nonchalant celebrations are all hallmarks of his incredible tenure. The outpouring of emotion since Peter's tragic death at the age of just 35 a fortnight ago is testament to how many lives he touched, not only in this corner of the world, but the footballing world as a whole. In this podcast, you'll be hearing from former chairman, managers and teammates about what Peter was like both on and off the pitch. We start with the men responsible for bringing him to the club back in 2007 and the first impressions of those players who were already at the club when Peter arrived. This is what former chairman Peter Ridsdale, former manager Dave Jones and ex-City players Darren Purse and Paul Parry had to say.
Yeah, I mean, Peter, I signed obviously in January 2007. I always remember getting a sort of character reference on him from Graham Taylor, who'd said to me that he was one of the most talented players he'd ever seen come through the Aston Villa Academy, and was surprised they were letting him go. I know Martin O'Neill at the time was disappointed that Randy Lerner did the deal with me at what he thought was a snip, which was £350,000. And Peter ended up being probably one of the most talented and yet understated professionals that Cardiff had. He always stepped up to the plate in the big games. He was a consummate professional, never an ounce of trouble. I remember the free kick in the playoff semi-final first leg at Leicester City he scored, but that was just a trademark free kick for Peter. You know, there are some players who got skill but don't do it in the games that matter. Peter had the skill week in, week out, but did it in the games that matter. And I think that given he was with Cardiff during arguably their most successful years in their history, I'm not trying to take away the 27 Cup final, but you know, if you take the period from him joining, getting promoted, etc., he must go down in Cardiff City's history as a genuine legend. And I know it's difficult to use that word, but I think it's true as far as he and Cardiff City are concerned.
Well, we brought him in because of his quality. We were looking to build a squad of young players, which fell into that category. I didn't think I was going to get him from Villa at one stage. Martin was umming and ahhing whether to sell him, so it was a bit of a waiting game for us. But in the end, thankfully, we got him, and you know, he was a top player. We could only see him getting better.
How highly does he rank in the signings you made in your managerial career?
Well, listen, I think his qualities was there for everybody to see. And, you know, I remember talking to Kenny Dalglish once when Kenny went back to Liverpool as manager. And I actually met him at a dinner with him, and I said that he should have a look at him. So that's how highly I thought about him. I thought he was a Premiership player all day long. You know, we always thought that he could have gone on if he continued to play the way he was playing, that we always thought that, you know, there'd be somebody knocking on the door for him. I remember having many long conversations with him about nothing really. It just used to be he was just there, which was just there. He was a low maintenance. If you can get lower than low, he was a low maintenance player. He was just living around. I remember telling him once, you know, I didn't think he was an out and out left winger, and he wanted to know why. And I said, I don't think he's quick enough. And he said, well, that's a good enough reason. That's the way he was. It was just, he was a pleasure to work with, and he was, you know, people would throw a lot of accolades at him, but he was humble, he was respectful. He had a wily smile about him. He, you know, you knew when he was annoyed. He didn't say it, just his facials. But for me, he was He was a top player, and he was a delight to work with. And I was, I'm honoured to have that opportunity to work with the lad.
I remember Witt coming into Cardiff. I'd been at the club for about a year. He was a young sort of, I think he was probably about 20 years of age when he walked through the door, 21 years of age. He was a young lad just coming in from Aston Villa. Very raw, but as soon as you see him on the training field, you knew that he was a talent. You know, he had a very sort of dry sense of humour, but a very funny bloke. I don't think you'll find anybody to say a bad word about him. You know, he was top class, and he was one of them players that could win a game or turn a game. That little bit of skill that all sides are looking for, and just a pleasure to share the football pitch with him. Yeah, no, very quiet. I think he had his friends within the dressing room that he sort of got on well with. I wouldn't say he's a quiet guy. No, he was sort of quiet. He got on well with pretty much everybody. You know, there's nobody that he shied away from. Good on a night out, you know. He was just a real genuine bloke. You look at some of the goals that are going round at the moment that he scored. If Ronaldo scored, and everybody would be saying how real he was. And which was that talented player. There was one at Middlesbrough that he scored in the FA Cup run. Up at Middlesbrough, it was a great strike from the edge of the box. Obviously, that helped us obviously get through to the FA Cup semi final. You know, he had that moment of brilliance that he could turn the game with his talent. You know, I wish I was as talented as him. You know, because he had that little thing there. He had that little bit of quality that could turn a game. It's not just the goals that he scored; it's the goals that he made as well. You know, from free kicks, he put a great ball in the box, and I was sort of lucky enough at times to be on the end of it. So he's just a genuine lad, and it's a shame he's left us so early. Yeah, he's quite a
racky brain, and think what the bloody hell's going on? Is this real? Certainly, even being so close to the untimely passing at Barks as well, really, really hard to comprehend, really. And obviously, the deepest condolences going out to his young family. And it's just really, really tragic. Obviously, I was there when one day brought him in, and he came with a lot of pedigree, for such a young lad, being coming up through the Villa ranks and what have you. But he came to the club and was a really quiet boy. As I say, he settled in so quickly, and the ability he had, he was taken in by the fans, from such an early stage. And for a player to go through longevity as he did, then he rightly deserves to be known as that sort of modern day legend to the Bluebirds fans. He had an absolute wonderful effort, and you talk about certain footballers being that magician, and he certainly fell into that category. You're being on the field with him at times, thinking, we need something special here. How on earth are we going to get this ball to Witt? Because he was the one player, just out of nothing, whether that be from a set play, a cross, he just had something that he could do that very, very few possibly could do. Like I say, when chips were down, you think, well, I've got to get this ball to Witt, because his potential, he could come and bring this game to life. And that was always the thought of a teammate playing with Witt, that he could be that difference to you.
Shackle heads it away, only to Emmanuel Thomas, turns it infield. Whittingham with the shot. Oh, what a goal from Peter Whittingham! Well, it's one of those ones that either go in the top left-hand corner or into row Z of the Camden stand.
Whittingham was a dream for managers.
He organised the midfield to shore up the defence and created countless goals for strikers and attack. His magical left boot could craft chances from nothing and whip in dangerous set pieces at will. While Whittingham enjoyed his fair share of goals, so did the likes of Michael Chopper and Jay Borthroyd. It's hard to put a figure on just how many goals were sprinkled with Whittingham magic, but Chopper believes his record would have been far worse if Whittingham wasn't around, while Jay Borthroyd recalls the hilarious moment Dave Jones put him and Chopper both in their place when it came to who was on penalty duty.
Well, he was a proper footballer. You see nowadays where you have footballers that are fancy downs and stuff like that. Witt was a total opposite. He would come to training, work hard, do what was needed, go home, prepare properly for games, prepare properly for training. And he was a proper sportsman as well. He would watch rugby, he'd watch cricket, basically any sport that was on TV, and he'd be watching it. He was that type of person. You wouldn't see him being flashy or anything. He was just a down to earth lad that just loved football and loved sport. And I can't think highly enough and can't say enough things about him, because everyone knows the type of person he is. He's a legend, and rightly so. He's going to go and folklore with Cardiff and go down in Bluebirds history because of what he's done for the football club. But obviously, Witt joined the club a little bit after me, and we both connected straight away, because obviously playing in the Premier League together, I've played against him for the reserves, and we bonded so well, because goals I scored, a lot of them was down to Witt producing, and if Witt didn't produce for me, then I wouldn't have become the player I was, I don't think, for Cardiff City. A lot of it was down to Peter Whittingham with his magical wand of a left boot. Do you know, when he'd come in the dressing room, he'd brighten it up and that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? He'd have a laugh with the lads when it was needed. And I remember we all used to, there was probably about four or five of us, we used to go around to Witters after training. We used to all sit and play Call of Duty in his house. We all used to take our TVs around and everything. We all used to play Call of Duty together, and it was great. It was great banter and great for the lads.
Witt is a fantastic player. To be honest, for me, he's one of them players that when he gets the ball, you know, as a striker, you always want to make, you know, that if you make a good movement, and you know, he'll find you. You know, he could strike the ball well. You know, he could see a pass. You know, he's one of them players that I know that I could hit the ball at him as hard as I want, as long as it went to his feet, you know, and he's going to trap it. It's not going to bounce off him like a brick wall, you know. And you know, he was good in the dressing room as well. You know, Witt was quiet. And he was reserved sometimes, and you know, he was always with Tony Capaldi. But you know, when we went out, we always had, even like when we was on the pitch, we had banter. You know, he kind of used to say these, he used to say jokes, but with a straight face. And then when you started laughing, he'd start laughing with you, kind of thing. Like, so you didn't know he was joking at the time, but then it would just burst into laughter, which was, you know, his kind of way. But you know, Witt used to come out of us and have, you know, have a few drinks with us and, you know, party with us after games. And you know, obviously it's so tragic to, you know, I still can't believe it. You know, it's, I didn't go training for the, like, when I found out, I didn't even train for those couple of days over here, because I was, you know, I'm so gutted. You know, he's such a great person. You know, great player. I'm just so, you know, upset, you know, that he's not going to be able to see his kids grow. You know, he's, man, it's just, I can't even, I don't have words to explain how unfortunate that scenario is. I know it's a different sport, but, and he was, you know, if Kobe Bryant gets his jerseys retired because he passed away in tragic circumstances, why shouldn't Peter Whittingham? He was a servant for Cardiff Football Club. He was there for, what, 10 years? He got promotion with Cardiff City. He was one of our first players to, like I said, I think he got there a season before me, right? Or two seasons before me. And, you know, he was always a starter since when I was playing. I remember a scenario actually that was quite funny that no one's mentioned. I remember me and Chops was arguing who's going to be the penalty taker, and we was arguing so much, and I'm like, listen, if that ball comes near me, you're not going to take the ball out of my hands. And he's like, well, if I get the ball, I'm going to put it down and just take it. I said, well, I'm going to come and kick the ball away. Like, we was arguing, we was going back and forth, and then Dave Jones has come in and was like, Wits, you're on penalties, mate. I just put it to bed. And I don't think he missed one. He didn't miss any. Because I said, the first thing I said to him, I said, if you miss a penalty, I'm back on him. Like that. And then he never missed a penalty. And he wasn't even injured that much either. So it was kind of like, when there were penalties, you know, you had full confidence that he was going to score them. But he was great to have in the team, you know. He played wide. At first, and you know, obviously he was crossing the ball from deep and, you know, hitting diagonals and getting you in and all that, but then obviously he went into midfield and, you know, he was probably better there, to be honest. You know, he was able to play them intricate balls through the middle. You know, obviously he was in the middle of the pitch now, so he could score more goals, you know, which was fantastic. I can't give him that man enough compliments about his game, and off the pitch the way he was as well. He was one of the boys, and you know, we all loved him.
It's cleared away by the Reading defence. That was a great effort by Conway.
Definitely so. Oh, over the top. What a goal! What an absolute world-class goal from Peter Whittingham.
Of course, it wasn't just the strikers who appreciated Whittingham's class, and certainly not only the strikers who benefited from him being on the field. Here are fan favourites and defenders Mark Kennedy, Mark Hudson and Sol Bamba, a very close personal friend of Whittingham's, on how they will remember him.
From my perspective, it's absolutely heartbreaking for so many reasons, for such a young man losing his life towards his wife and parents and family, a young family, baby on the way. I have an incredibly young family myself, so, you know, it's just absolutely heartbreaking. And one of the things which kind of compounds the situation is when you get an opportunity to be a sports person, you're enabled to touch so many other thousands and thousands of people's lives. And that's what Wits did in abundance in terms of how he connected with people on and off the park. As a person, he was just so like, it was impossible not to like him. He was such a nice guy. I imagine everybody told you how laid back he was, took everything in his stride, incredibly humble, and just so lovable and likeable. Very quiet, very popular in the dressing room, and in terms of his football ability, I've been very fortunate in my career to play with some incredible players, but in terms of natural talent, he was just in a league of his own. I think you only got to look at it. I did it myself yesterday. I looked back on some of the tributes and the goals he scored, and you just think, you know, some people score those types of goals once in a lifetime. We would get one every other week. And what was amazing about him, and I always specifically remember this, he was just so, you know, in some of the things he used to do in training and in games, you know, you just stand there and say, wow. But he used to do it so regularly, and what I loved about was the fact that it didn't really bother him. He didn't think he was great. He had no ego. He was incredibly humble. It was just like, I'm just a young lad playing football and expressing myself and doing what, amazingly, he thought was just everybody could do, but nobody could do it. And that's what I loved about him. And he was, without a shadow of a doubt, one of the best players. In terms of talent, he's right up there with the best players I've ever played with, and played with some pretty good ones. So, but just all around heartbreaking, horrendous news. It's such a difficult time in the world as well. And the people I really, really can't get my head round for is the people that, you know, that his family and immediate friends. And I even think straight away, one of the first people I thought about straight away was Tony Capaldi when I was at the club. Him and TC were just absolutely inseparable, and it's people like that and his wife and kids that spring to mind, you know. So there's nothing I can say to even try to pretend to comprehend what other people must be going through, because it's just impossible to put yourself in their shoes. But really, really, really sad, but an unforgettable lad, and will be sorely missed, and truly will definitely not be forgotten. It's
tragic news, firstly for his family, for his wife, for everyone connected with him. To lose someone so young is so hard, and leaving behind devastation, really. So it's really upsetting. I think if we talk about Pete, who's the kind of guy that he was dry humour, great to have as a teammate, kept everyone level-headed. It was never too high, never too low. His footballing ability, since playing with him, I think there's never a moment passes where when people talk about players they played with that he's not mentioned. He was excellent at keeping in contact with his close friends from back home, people outside of football that he'd grown up with. He used to spend time with his family, and you couldn't help but respect him. He would go out, he'd enjoy himself, of course, but he was always with his friends from growing up, and that just showed sort of testament to him as a character that he used to do that.
When I walk into the club and in the dressing room, him, because I'm there, him in the car park, and Connolly, when I first arrived to have my first training session, and since that day, for some reason, very close, because they called me and they said, "Oh, you just came in with Warnock and all." I said, "Yeah," and obviously playing against them over the years, so they took me down to the dressing room and introduced me to everyone. And since that day, we've been very, very close. And you know, we used to go out. Last time I went out with him in Cardiff, no longer, it was about 2 months ago. And me and Connolly and a few other friends, Junior Hollier as well, went to London last weekend. Went out. About 10 days ago, after the Burnley game, Boundary, sorry. Yeah. And he actually texted me and Connolly, and he was raging. He said, "Oh, why you didn't tell me? I would have come down with you guys." That was him. That's him all along. He loves meeting with his friend, having a couple of drinks, and enjoy himself. And that's him all along. Very, very good sense of humour. Top. Honestly, I can't speak higher of him. Like, he's a top man. Yeah. And obviously his quality on the pitch was unbelievable. He's probably one of the best players I play with, and I've been playing with some big players like Kolo Touré, Arthur, and all that, Jogba and all this, but he's definitely one up there, because his quality when he fancy it was unbelievable. What I love about him is that what you see is what you get. Like, if he loves the Warnock, the man, and the way he managed the dressing room. Oh. He just didn't like the way he played football, because obviously Peter was a very skillful player. He needed to have the ball on his feet. He wasn't learning particularly much, but when he had the ball, he could do whatever he wanted with the ball. But that wasn't Neil Warnock's style. Oh. But he still loved it when he was here, because the manager was managing very, very well. And it depended on the game he was playing him when we needed someone like him, basically, with his set pieces delivery or his magic touch on finding the right ball, the right pass at the right time. But when it was like a physical game where we know we need to dug in or we need to run a lot, he was clever enough to go and see Peter and said, "Listen, that's not a game for you," and they both agreed most of the time. So he was very good. And I remember the first game I played against Bristol City when he scored a penalty. He was saying to me, like, "Just relax, we'll win the game. Just give me the ball and we'll win the game." I was like, "What?" And I was like, "Peter, I know you're good, but come on, you know that." He said, "So don't worry, just defend, pass me the ball." You know. And at the end of the game, he came to see me and said, "So what did I tell you? Defend, pass me the ball, but where you were looking today is you score a goal." And I was, "No, you're right." That's top man, honestly, Tom. I would miss him too much. He's a top man.
That's the thing that everyone keeps saying, though. So everyone I've spoken to, teammates from years gone by, many of them, and they all say, "What a great sense of humour he had." They were saying a very dry sense of humour, but a really...
Exactly, that's the word, very dry sense of humour. But sometimes, you don't know if he was joking or if he was serious. And you look at him and say, why
just said? And he just died laughing or started laughing, and you're like, fucking hell, this guy. But that's him all along. That was him all along. And what I love about him as well is everything was fun for him when he go on pitch, when he go train. And actually, he had when he left Blackburn, he still had a 10-year contract, you know, on very good money. But that's not him. He said, "Soon, I don't enjoy it anymore. I don't enjoy it. I may as well just come back here." His wife is from Wales, so obviously he said, "Like, I come back here, just chill with them and look after the family. And if I don't enjoy it anymore, I may as well just stop it." And I was like, "You can't stop now." Me and Colony were saying to him, like, "You got so much to offer. You can still play. You're a good player." And he was like, "Yeah, but I don't enjoy it. And if I don't enjoy it, there's no point." And that was him. Everything was about fun and enjoying himself.
But easily dispossessed. And young Aaron Ramsey, goal scorer, plays the ball through. An excellent chance here for Cardiff City to take the lead. And Peter Whittingham strokes the ball past Wayne Hennessy.
When it comes to club legends, Whittingham will certainly be among the Bluebirds' greats. A player whose class on the field appeared to be echoed off it. Another player who earned legendary status during his time at the club is Robert Earnshaw. Here, the former Wales international, who knew him as a youngster at Aston Villa while playing for West Brom, speaks eloquently about Whits as a man, a player, and meeting him and his family before the South Wales derby back in January.
Obviously, when I moved to Cardiff and he was already there, obviously I knew of him, and I was at different clubs and then come back to play, you know, back at Cardiff. It was just he was actually one of the players that I looked forward to playing with, because he was just as a player. Great player. One of the most talented I played with. One of the most enjoyable I played with. And such a great, great player. Just great all-round player. Such a talented footballer. Because you know, I think I loved playing with him. I loved, you know, there were times, you know, we trained a lot together, and all the time, you know, we're on the training pitch. It was great to be, you know, when we're on the same team, when we're, you know, whether it's a small-sided game or it's a possession or something, whatever, we're on the same team. I always loved that. I always enjoyed that, because we just clicked. We just got on so well. And it, obviously, in front of the crowds, then it was nice. You know, I enjoyed any time that I knew that he was on my side, and he, you know, we were wearing the same shirt, and we could make things happen on the pitch. It was great, and I always look forward to that. You know, I think it's one of the things that stands out for me is if he was on my team, I got a bit more excited, because I knew the talent, I knew what he could do, and he's very unselvish. Very unselfish, it was about doing the right thing at the right time and making the right decisions at the right time. So I knew playing ahead of him, and, you know, sometimes you can be, you know, when you play a striker and you play with a midfielder, you need them just as much as they need you, and you need to connect on the pitch, you need to have an understanding. But it was so easy to play with him, because he, you know, if I made a movement, I knew he'd see me. I knew he'd try it. He wouldn't think twice about looking for me. So I think those are the things that kind of stand out playing with him. So it was enjoyable, you know. And obviously, I think the things that stand out is his qualities. You know, his left foot. Obviously, I think instantly it's the thing that stands out, because it could do so much magic, and it could produce so much joy, whether you're playing with him or whether you're watching him. And he could just do some things that just top class. Those are things that kind of stood out, you know, on the pitch. Sometimes it's funny, because sometimes I think one of the things where, you know, we talk about him as a player, but one of the things that, you know, the memories that I'll take with me is really, sometimes I used to just look at him, and sometimes you look back, and we used to just almost laugh. no words said, or no words were needed. Maybe something happened on the pitch, maybe he'd do something, maybe I'd do something, but I'd look at him, and he'd instantly laugh, but with no words, but we both understood what we were laughing at. I think that's one of the things that, because he just had such a, he was very he's very attentive to everything that's going on around. So when I looked at him, he knew what, if something funny had happened and nobody, everybody's missed it, he probably saw it. And if something great has happened, we'd laugh in almost a comical, did you see that? Yeah, I saw that. You know, and then just laugh. Yeah, that, those are the things that would be going through your mind, but would just laugh without actually saying those words. So I think those are the things that really I'll keep close to me, because those will be some of the memories of him and myself. And but to be honest, it's really shocking and devastating, because who he was. He was very simple, but very unassuming, but at the same time very very present, very easy, I think he had this really dry sense of humor all the time, through everything, through any time of day, whatever you were talking about, whatever's gone on, he had a complete dry sense of humor. So he'd always come out with you know, a one-liner based on, you know, just something he's noticed, or, you know, he would just, it's such a dry sense of humor, but always with a joke, but really dry, but always joking, always, you know, taking the mickey out of everybody or anybody, and at any moment as well. You know, it wasn't like, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this here, I shouldn't say it. He said whatever it was, he'll just say it. And he just kind of took it, because you knew that was just his sense of humor. He's going to come out with the most, you know, whether it's he should say it or shouldn't say it, he'll probably say it. And it didn't matter the time or whether, you know, it was just, that's just his way and his sense of humor. And I think that's the thing that I think everybody loved, his dry sense of humor, his way of just being kind of, you know, very simple and in a, not about any kind of limelight or anything like that, but at the same time he had it, because, you know, you respected him because you knew he's very smart, you know. Yeah. Very, very smart guy. Yeah. And I'm really, really sad about it, really, really devastating. Yeah. Really, this one's really hit me hard, because it's I didn't see him for a few years, because obviously I've been away in America and, you know, Canada and, you know, across the world a little bit. And a month ago, actually, I got together with him, and it was the first time I saw him in a little while. And again, like I said earlier, it was straight back into same wits, same, you know, very short, sharp one-liners, very funny, and very dry. And so I was joking with him a month, and we were actually at the Cardiff Swansea game. Yeah, we both got invited by Ken Chu, actually. We both got invited to be as guests on that day, and I was with him for that whole day last month. So it was great to really spend a full day with him. And funnily enough, and you know, everything, all our thoughts go with it. The first thing that you think about, and first thing I thought about, was really his family. You know, Amanda and his wife and his little boy was there last month too. So I got to spend the day with them all, and that's why, you know, it's really tough, because it was a nice day. It was nice to spend some time with him and talk about old times and talk about football and talk about, you know how he is and, you know, how's his little boy, and speak to his wife and how they are and where they're living and how they're doing and everything. And we kind of exchanged numbers and said, you know, listen, we'll get together soon enough. And we'll kind of get together and do something and go for a catch up and not really realizing that that was actually the last time I you know, we actually were in contact, and that was the last time I saw him, and that's the last time I heard from him. And it was So it's really, really tough. Really, really tough to take. And it's tough because, you know, when you lose somebody's especially somebody who, a teammate, and somebody who you've kind of shared a lot of really, I guess, you know, when you play football, you're in a position where not everybody can experience some of the things that go on day to day, whether you're in the change room, whether you perform these things in front of thousands, but it's not always that, you know, everybody can share, everybody kind of can experience. It's only the time that, you know, the game kicks off, or, you know, you maybe catch a bit of training, but, you know, and sometimes when you can watch a game together and talk a little bit and just, you know, almost like sometimes you can get to reminisce, and so it's nice to just kind of have a little bit of time with him and also see his family as well, and just to reminisce and joke and it was, you know, we giggled a bit and we laughed and we talked about, you know, old games and you know, how much he didn't run and how much
he didn't need to with a left foot like that, though.
I've got only great things to talk about him and say about him, and that's why we're gonna always miss him, and it's really a sad time because you know, I think we enjoyed him and we enjoyed his company as well. You know, he's a great player, but also a great person and somebody who's just a top guy, somebody whose presence that we're gonna miss.
And that's Whittingham. Oh, that's 1-0. The cup of shocks looks as if it might be giving us another as Middlesbrough protest bitterly.
Whittingham's final Cardiff City manager was Neil Warnock, the man who architected City's second promotion to the Premier League, but that was without the class of wits within his ranks. Whittingham left for Blackburn in 2017, but as Warnock reveals, if the manager had it all his way, that never would have happened. In fact, Warnock had visions of handing Whittingham a place in the coaching staff, hoping the midfielder could pass on his knowledge to the youngsters coming through. It wasn't to be, however, and Whittingham retired after a solitary season with Rovers. But Warnock believes his heart was never truly in that move to Ewood Park. Such was the player's love for Cardiff City.
I mean, I don't know anybody that's got a bad word about him. Just think, you know, he's such a model professional and looked after himself, always thought about his family. And I mean, I was disappointed. I think really, you know, it's all right in hindsight. I was disappointed. I know I only offered him a 1 year. But when he went to Blackburn, I don't think his heart was ever... I think he's always loved Cardiff, really. I was hoping he'd sign that 1 year and, you know, go on the staff after, you know, go on the coaching staff. But while he was with us, he was just... He, you know, he didn't play every week because I said to him about the fitness and championship level and all that, but he never gave me one moment of problems. You know, you get players knocking on your door. Not Peter. He was just a fabulous professional. He had a dry sense of humour, though. You know, when he said something, he usually made you laugh because he wouldn't be expected. He wasn't one of the jokers in the pack. But he come up with some crackers, and you know, just when you didn't expect it. And you know, and yeah, I think obviously we're a family man. They wanted to go home. Even you could see that when he packed in at Blackburn, he wanted to stick with family, didn't he? And have more time with them. And whereas people would have gone abroad and stuff like that. Not Peter. He wanted to stick, you know, with family and his mates down here. So it's in the middle of this bloody virus thing, which is, it just brings home how slender life is, isn't it?
Although Whittingham clearly had an impact on the people you've heard in this podcast, he touched thousands more with his magic on the pitch. He was central to everything positive at Cardiff City Football Club for a decade and will go down as one of the club's greatest ever players and a man who was taken far too early. The countless memories he left behind, the fans whose lives he changed, and the generations of young Cardiff kids he inspired will continue to be his legacy. From fans to former teammates, if the 2 weeks since his tragic passing has taught us anything, is that City really did love him more than he will know. So here's to you, Peter Whittingham.